in all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the most wicked one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every Roman soldier was equipped with a shield he carried on his left arm. It was about 4 feet by 2.5, cured leather stretched over a wooden frame, large enough to protect him from his nose down to about his knees, and strong enough to deflect pretty much anything that would come at him in the way of blows or arrows or other swords. But then, they always do for warfare, somebody came up with an improved weapon, fiery darts, St. Paul calls them in our epistle. They were fire-tipped arrows which stuck in the soldier's shield and eventually destroyed it. Now, St. Paul is saying that faith, your supernatural faith, holding on to as true to what God reveals to you through his church on his authority as a revealer, faith, not reason alone, faith, not feeling, faith, that gift you got at baptism, but everybody didn't get it. Faith never fails to ward off the blows of the foe, to fend off the fiercest onslaught of the devil. In temptation, faith protects the soldier of Christ. This army of the King, to which we belong, as a marching band, and faith is its trumpet. And the creed we've been studying lately, the creed is its fight song. Now this army has a bit battle plan. It used to be secret, but it's not anymore, which is pored over and studied and memorized, because it's taught and practiced. Everything we do either expresses our faith and makes it stronger, or compromises it with the fiery darts of the most wicked one, if ever we should let down our shield. But eternal truth cannot be destroyed by the malicious attacks of the enemy. Remember this. The Credo, coming perhaps as it will today after a fairly long sermon, or at a low mass, maybe just at the end of the Mass of the Catechumens, with its fair share of distractions. And when we're distracted, what do? We stay here. We're with ourselves. But the creed is meant to jolt us out of ourselves, to make us stand up on our feet and give us something to celebrate. And this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith, St. John tells us at Easter time. I thought of this during my trip a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday in Tijuana. The young people in Tijuana refer to their city as TJ, I learned. Well, they had what they call a convivio in Spanish in somebody's backyard. There were about 30 or 40 young people, and we were having a nice afternoon dinner together and chatting and enjoying really very good Mexican food, when from a distance I heard a trumpet. Now that gets your attention. If you've ever come to the 9 o'clock on Christmas morning with the string quartet playing, there's nothing like the sound of real music being made. It draws you. Well, then came in the rest of the band, fiddles and all, marching in full traditional mariachi uniform, playing away and singing. Well, everyone's watching by now. The conversation stops. There were a few very dedicated adolescents who were still glued to their dumb phones, but aside from that, everyone else was united with the mariachis, and we listened. And some of them sang along happily. There was a bit of banter back and forth with the main mariachi man. And they always ask if a bishop's there, do you have a request? Fortunately, I happen to know one, and so I always ask for that great waltz which honors the Christ the King hero of Ecuador, the martyr for our Lord's kingship, Garcia Moreno, and it's called Dios Nunca Muere, God Never Dies. So they played that, and that was wonderful too. And all of a sudden, you feel yourself caught up in a celebration. That's meant to be the spirit of the creed. Even Monsignor Knox, whose works I often consult for the series on the Mass, who was as English as you could possibly get, said the creed makes him want to sway from side to side as he prays it aloud. It's exciting, like a goal scored in a very good football game. The player is running from side to side with the ball, fending off the foe, first on one side and then to the other. The first part of the creed is like that. Our Catholic history, with all of those big words like consubstantial or incarnation, and all of the history they presume, and all of the battles that were won. And there's the Catholic Church, keeping its poise, never fumbling the ball, resisting the onslaught of heresy. The true church does, first on this side and then on that, ducking and dodging as needs be, but always moving towards the goalpost. And you wonder sometimes today, or as you read of yesterday, you wonder if she'll make it, but she always does, preserving the perfect balance of the faith. The true church does. It's a kind of an ancient, sacred, almost dance, really. The Mass, church history, is all here. Listen, it sounds better, many things do, in the Latin. Deum de Deo, lumen de lumine, Deum verum de Deo vero. God of God, light of light, true God of true God. Try it yourself today as you follow the creed in your prayer book. But as you make your way down the field, make an act of faith. Remember your shield against the foe. And as you profess your faith, in each bounding article of the creed, pray to believe. Be convinced again, it should have an influence on your whole life. If you take the kids off to play sports on Sunday morning, or tell yourself you can crash this morning and you'll make it to the 5:45, only you never do, because by then you're settled on the couch for another game. Well, who's fighting on the other team now? This is just one example. All week long, your life may give the lie to what your lips proclaim on Sunday. And that's the problem. But Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. By the middle of the creed, the choir slows down. And like those Marxists a few years ago on the sidelines, we take a knee. But the only thing we protest is our unchanging faith in the incarnation as we kneel down, and twice at a high mass, we're saying, "Who, God, for whom, for me, the Lord Jesus came down from heaven." And if there's music at the Mass, it gets more solemn at this point. And you're thinking of God's Son in the flesh, becoming man, and offering for us the eternal sacrifice, which is about to be accomplished on our altar, the mystery of faith. And it is not only for trumpets and triumph, taking the eternal goal. The creed, our faith, also demands study, as it is our strategy, after all. I think of the relative handful of blessed children in our church. Victorious soldiers, surely, in the training, who are being taught to wield the sword of faith by parents, at home, and even in the course of daily life and work, by teachers here at school and catechism class. Different classes during the school year are given here 6 days out of seven. And then the priest in the pulpit, or not, but teaching still. One morning last week in Argentina, I was praying my office in the chapel of Our Lady of Lourdes, it's called. And the walls are very thin. It used to be a general store, I think. And I could hear the Father Superior carefully, painstakingly instructing another priest in how to recite the traditional divine office. And then after he showed him how, they recited it together. It's a long, long prayer, alternating Father's voice, confident and smooth, and the priest would come over from the Novus Ordo, somewhat halting, but sincere and dedicated. The new priest had gone to the St. Pius X Society years ago, but nobody had time for him. They didn't reordain him. They don't do that anymore. They're recognized by Rome, you know. Rome today is recognizing a communist revolutionary as a saint, and the man who destroyed the Mass, well, he's a saint now too, don't you know? And the Pius X people told him, well, just say the Mass as well as you can. And then he went to the St. Pius X, the resistance, they call them, the R&R people, and they gave him a quick reordination, but had no help for him and no training. All of this takes time, you know, to teach a convert or a child the catechism, to answer questions about the faith, or for a priest who wants to do it right with his rubrics and his Latin and his prayers. This too is our Sunday credo in unum Deum in action all week long. It's the quiet side of the creed, after the mariachi have marched out. God bless the teachers of all kinds. Was there ever a greater kindness than that shown by those who take time to teach? They are fitting a new generation of soldiers with their shield, fireproof at that. This too is worth celebrating, but only if you're fighting and cheering on something that matters. Oh, and if you're staying behind your shield. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.